ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Australia is in the midst of a mental health crisis, with many unable to afford support or even find support, and with clinics and hospitals facing severe workforce shortages. The government has been under pressure to reform the mental health sector, but that pressure peaked yesterday when the chair of Mental Health Australia, Matt Berryman, quit, saying the Prime Minister was, quote, doing nothing to address the crisis. Joining us this morning is Dr. Ruth Vine, Deputy National Chief Health Officer of Mental Health and the Victorian Chair of the Royal Australian and New Zealand College of Psychiatrists, Dr. Simon Stefrace. Welcome to both of you.
Good morning, Patricia. Thank you.
Good morning.
This is a really important conversation, and I feel like it's falling. It's kind of been put on the national radar again because of this resignation, but it's falling over a little in terms of focus. Dr. Vine, I want to start with you. Matt Berryman says the government's doing nothing. Do you believe that as well? Is the government doing nothing?
No, of course, I don't believe that. Look, I've been working with the Commonwealth Government, as you said, the Deputy Chief Mental Health for the past 3 or 4 years, and it's been a very active role. I think there's a few things to say to that, and I would add I haven't spoken to Matt Berryman directly, but the mental health reform has a long history, and we've seen many calls for action and indeed many developments of plans and agreements and roadmaps. I think there is a recognition that there are heightened levels of distress, that there is real pressure on mental health services, and that there is a need for those services to be better targeted. And I do think that's a critical point that we found when we did the evaluation of Better Access, which was completed towards the end of 2022, that those who accessed Better Access found it very helpful, but many people were unable to, and there was not a correlation between the severity of presentation and access to services. There was a far better correlation between geographic sort of place of residence, if you like, and affordability. And I think that led to a recognition that we really need to make sure that those who may receive support through lower intensity services, digital mental health, support provided by non-clinical professionals, need to be able to access those services readily, making sure that the clinical services, those provided by psychologists, clinical psychologists, psychiatrists, who may need more nuanced psychotherapy, may need complex biological medication management, are better able to access that. And before I let Simon get a word in, the other thing that I think is really critical has been much better integration between those services provided by states and territories and those provided by Commonwealth funded through MBS. GPs, of course, are often our first port of call for those with mental health. And that, I think, is reform that is ongoing. But if you think about things like improving access to bulk billed services or longer consultations with GPs or better development of education for GPs, all of those are in the direction of both better access for services for those who need them, but also targeting. But I agree, we've got a long way to go.
Yeah, absolutely a long way to go. Simon, I will give you a word or a couple. We've discussed this broadly for a long time, but I think it's put into attention to our attention how important it is. The Mental Health Australia Chair, Matt Berryman, saying that he doesn't think enough is happening. Are we actually doing enough right now, given the crisis we're seeing?
Hi, Patricia, and thanks for having me come on your show. It's a pleasure to be here and to talk about this really important subject. I think Matthew is right. I think, you know, anybody who has had the experience of supporting people experiencing a mental health crisis, or indeed, you know, a mental health issue that requires specialist care, knows how hard it is to get an appointment, knows how hard it is to afford the care once access is available through the private sector, and knows how long the waiting lists can be for the public sector if in fact you're not presenting with a crisis in the first place. And so we've been talking about this. Both Ruth and I have been working in this sector for a very long time. And we've been talking about, you know, the mental health crisis, the need for mental health reform for many, many years. And the difficulty, I think, is that despite the very best intentions of governments, despite the very best intentions of the people who work in the sector, the foot keeps being taken off the pedal. We stop and we start, it feels a bit like a vehicle that's sort of sputtering. We need to sustain a long-term commitment to this problem. We have, and I can talk to you a little bit about some of the experiences that we've had in Victoria where significant investment has actually taken place. But we've discovered that, fixing the mental health system is not simply a matter of turning on the switch. There are things that need to be done in order to prepare the system to be able to respond to the needs out there in the community, even when money is available.
Let's look specifically at the Better Access Program. More than a year ago, the government cut the number of subsidised sessions from 20 to 10, saying there'd be some sort of response to make up for that cut and explaining the equity issues as we've gone through already. Dr. Vine, I don't want to go through and re-prosecute that. I just wonder why there hasn't been a significant action taken since.
Thanks, Patricia. A couple of things to say about that. I mean, firstly, I do just want to reinforce what Simon's just said about how it takes time to sort of steer a ship in a different direction or to integrate and add ingredients that won't just further complicate and fragment a system. And so some of the things that I think have been really sort of concentrated on since the Better Access Evaluation has been the continuing expansion of non-MBS services. This was one of the recommendations of the Better Access Evaluation was that Better Access needed to be seen in the context of the system, in the context of other services that might better meet people's needs than a single, you know, fee-for-service model in a sort of Commonwealth-subsidised market basis. So the Commonwealth's sort of expenditure on mental health, if you like, so it's around about $7 billion, and big chunks of that, of course, are PBS and MBS. But there is an increasing amount of money going through the primary health networks into more, if you like, non-fee-for-service, salaried, multidisciplinary mental health services. Probably the headline of those is the head to health services, but there are a range of other psychological supports that are provided and suicide prevention services and others. And I think, you know, that the important thing again is that when those services are put in place, they are making sure that they are in geographic areas where there may be both greater demand but also more socioeconomic disadvantage and also that they are well integrated with primary care through their general practice, including through the new urgent care
centres. Okay, I don't mean to be rude to interrupt, but Dr. Vine, the Minister, Mark Butler, still hasn't responded to the majority of the findings of the Better Access Review. Is that good enough?
Well, just before, I mean, I think it's right, this is complex, and I think some of the response has been about making more available longer appointments and bulk billing incentives in certain areas. But also I would say that I've been privileged to be a member of a group called the Mental Health Reform Advisory Committee. Mental Health Australia is represented on that, and Caroline, their current chief executive, is a very active contributor. And that group has progressively looked at the key recommendations from the Better Access Evaluation, including affordability, including the availability of a range of levels of intensity of service and of course some of the questions for how best to maximise the workforce.
There is a budget looming. Is that where we should expect to see some of these measures?
Patricia, I can't talk about the budget.
Well, should it be in this budget?
Look, certainly I think at least, you know, some of the big consultations that have been happening have been, as I said already, in relation to how to better target the complex end by making sure there is availability of digital, really good digital mental health services and lower intensity services. And I would hope that that we do see some commentary about how to manage that spread better in the forthcoming budget.
Dr. Stefraci, you've been calling for better early intervention to stop people ending up in emergency rooms. What would you like to see from the government now?
Well, we need to stop. We need to stop throwing resources around like confetti and start to sort of try to find a way in order to make a difference to the experience that people have out in the community on a day-to-day basis. We hear about these initiatives, you know, and they're really, you know, quite wonderful in many ways, but the inevitably they translate into an experience of care for people who are looking for help, which is confusing. And so we want to see, a number of things. We want to see the Commonwealth and the states actually integrating what they do in a coherent way, so that the services that are offered by state government and the services that are offered by the Commonwealth government actually talk to one another, coordinate with one another, ideally are managed by the same folks, so that we don't have all of these fragmented pathways, which, you know, are put in front of people at a time when they're at their most vulnerable and they're least able to sort of navigate these, you know, complicated sort of pathways. Above all else, we need to see investment in workforce. The experience that we've had in Victoria following the Royal Commission, where we had substantial investment in mental health services, is that a lot of the ambition of the Royal Commission could not be achieved rapidly because we had not invested in the workforce for, you know, the last 10 to 20 years. So this has to change. And it's not enough to sort of see an investment occurring in one budget or two budgets. This is a 10-year plan. This has to be a 10-year plan. It has to be focused on psychiatrists, on psychologists, on mental health clinicians broadly, on peer workers. You know, modern mental health systems need people, as well as digital infrastructure, as well as, you know, buildings, and in order to sort of provide dignity and safety to the people who seek help. So we want to see investment in all of these areas, and we want to see better coordination and actually, more importantly, better integration with existing public services.
Just before I let you go, there is a story in The Australian today revealing that Scott Morrison dealt with anxiety and medicated for it during his time as Prime Minister. It's a really powerful reveal, I think, as we have mental health conversations. Just final word to you, Dr. Ruth Vine. There's a lot of stigma still attached to mental health, even though we've been trying to shift the dial on that. Does a powerful person who was once Prime Minister sharing that help in that destigmatisation?
I think exploring people's experiences and knowing that no one is immune from this is always helpful. I do think, however, that there remains significant stigma towards those with more severe mental illness. And although, you know, I think organisations like Beyond Blue have done much to improve community awareness of and understanding of anxiety and depression, and I do hope Mr. Morrison had a successful outcome to his experience, but I think we need to continue to work on lessening the stigma and discrimination against those with very significant illnesses like schizophrenia, bipolar affective disorder and others.
Thank you to both of you. An important conversation. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Ruth Vine is the Deputy National Chief Health Officer of Mental Health. And Simon Stafarce is the Victorian Chair of the Royal Australian and New Zealand College of Psychiatrists. This is ABC RN Breakfast.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.